See, are the Cowboys closer to the team that started 3-0 or the team that's now lost 2 in a row?
Well, they're an identity crisis. The people that are Cowboys fans, they love to think that, man, it's got to be those first 3 games. But the last 2 weeks, I can't erase that from my memory. Going to New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater, which Teddy Bridgewater is a legitimate starter now. He's 3-0. But coming back home, and it's not that they lost 2 games. I'm more concerned about the 6 awful quarters of offensive football that they play. Because I was concerned the first quarter after what they did in New Orleans. I was like, man, they'll pick it up the second quarter. In that second quarter, they go to halftime. No points on the board. I mean, I'm like, wow, they got. Now, this is starting to become a trend. Now, the second half, I'm not surprised they were to get back in the game. Defense are going to play soft, and there's yardage there to be had. But you'd have to be concerned when you are facing what we would call tested teams, veteran teams that are used to potentially being in a playoff run. We know New Orleans the last several years. We'd like to think Green Bay. A lot of people picked them. Some people, Nick, picked them as to represent the NFC. These are teams that are going to be there. You'd like to be able to see how you face against, and it hasn't been good the last 2 games. So to me, because I can be, you know, you know, unbiased. Mm-hmm. To me, it's closer to the team that won against those bad teams compared to New Orleans. I can't disregard. I do believe Dak's a better passer. But with their offensive line, can Kellen Moore come up with a game plan to protect that offensive line? This is his first time ever doing this. Now, how's he going to do it with the depleted roster? I don't know that, and I can't depend on that. So I would say that, yes, without Amari, when Amari Cooper's not healthy, all right, they're going to have problems. Michael Gallup, they need to get him back healthy. I thought the passing game would be further along. And against the Saints and against the Packers, quality teams, their passing game was not up to snuff. So I would say, Jenna, I think they're closer to a team that's better than bad teams. But when they face good teams,
and they're not good, and that's the when they face good teams, they don't play well. And the problem there is, of course, we all agree if this Cowboys season ends in them not making the playoffs, it's a disaster for them, right? Okay, they're going to be Giants teams in the playoffs. Washington, they're going to get to play them in the playoffs. Miami, they're going to get to, no. You know who you play in the playoffs? Green Bay's, New Orleans, Seattle, maybe Philadelphia. I could almost guarantee you this. If the Cowboys are to make the NFC Championship game, they will have to go through either New Orleans or Green Bay on the road there. I'd be shocked if they didn't. I think those are the two best teams in the conference right now. And Jerry Jones concerned. Jerry Jones said after the game, quote, we've played two teams that have it together and we looked bad. Yeah, you did. And that is one of the reasons when we talk about New England, even though they're 5-0 and they have all the numbers say New England's just totally dominant, the little small asterisk I have is, okay, but let's see the quality of competition. Dallas, we got a nice line of demarcation. First three, second two. You play 3 of the worst teams in football. Giants have looked better as of late, but they didn't play the Daniel Jones Giants. Nope. They played the Eli Manning Giants. And then you play 2 quality opponents. And Dak has played his 2 worst games of the year. Zeke has played his 2 worst games of the year. The defense yesterday played its worst game of the year. And that was at home. And the most concerning thing to me for Dallas is this, see. They got punched in the stomach early. I get it. You force a 3-and-out. You're moving the football. Looks like you're about to go up 7-0. And then Dak delivers a nice pass a little bit behind Amari. But Amari drops it and it's picked off. That is a stomach punch. To not respond to that, to have that be, okay, well, it's all the way they played over the next 30 minutes of football, it was like you couldn't recover from it. There was 55 minutes of football left when this play happened. The Cowboys didn't wake up for another 35 minutes of football. That's what was so disappointing, because they clearly had some semblance of a game plan where they could move the ball, where they could stop Green Bay, and they went away from it. So I think it's reason to be concerned in Dallas. We've talked about the NFC, about how deep the NFC is, how many teams have at least 3 wins. Big difference. We said going into the week, one of these teams, Dallas or Green Bay, the 3-0 start's going to feel like ages ago.
Yep.
Because they're going to be 3-2. That's now the Dallas Cowboys.
We also now have a couple of questions about Dak Prescott. What's the stat you give when Zeke rushes for under 75 yards?
They're 1-8. If
one
Zeke
and
doesn't
eight
hit
when
75
he doesn't
yards
have the
rushing.
Comfort level of Ezekiel Elliott, how concerned are you with Dak Prescott?
Well, I'm concerned because they're not winning. I do know that he's improved as a passer. And I would say Dak didn't have a bad day throwing the ball. He threw 2 bad balls. The one was behind Amari. He's supposed to make that catch. Open up his hips, catch it. Even if he misses it, the ball's supposed to go down compared to knocking it up. And then this route right here, where the wide receivers are too close together, there wasn't enough air. He didn't put enough air, and he didn't see that corner there because he was off to the flat and came off from the other receiver to pick it off. Besides that, he didn't play a bad game. I know we like to scrutinize him and everything, so he's throwing the ball better. Now, he can be throwing the ball better and them still not getting the results based on the holes in that offensive line, the lack of a dominant running game, and you can't turn the ball over and win in the NFL. So I do believe Dak's improved as a passer. I'm not going to overreact, but I am concerned when you can't look good offensively against New Orleans, who gave you a lot of man-to-man coverage. And then when Green Bay, in the middle of this game, the first half and the first half of the third quarter, Green Bay was shutting down this offense. Yes, I'm concerned about that offense moving forward.
As it stands today, the New Orleans Saints are the favorites to win the NFC, followed by the Packers, Eagles, Rams, Niners, and Cowboys. It sets up a fun discussion. Nick, who's the best team in the NFC?
Right now, to me, there is a clear hierarchy. And the hierarchy is the Saints and the Packers, and then everybody else. And so, and by the way, in that list, I think the Seahawks are wild disrespected. Seahawks were not on that list. Seahawks, maybe it's because of the division that they're in, because they have to deal with the Niners and the Rams, pardon me. But I think the Packers have shown you, and the Saints have shown you, they can beat really good teams without their first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback playing well in Green Bay's situation or playing at all in New Orleans' situation. And that's what differentiates them for me with the rest of the teams. They are healthier than other teams because Devontae Adams, while he's out with the turf toe, that is not the type of injury that you think, is he going to be back by the end of the season? And Drew Brees, while he's out right now, we know when he is coming back or that he is coming back at midseason. They don't have the structural injury of lost this player for the year. This guy is out for 6 to 8 weeks. I also think right now they're a team that can, both those teams have shown you, we can beat you running the football, we can beat you with our defense, and oh yeah, by the way, we have the two of the three best quarterbacks in the NFC in Brees and Rodgers. So to me, those two teams are tied for first. I know that's a bit of a cop-out, but I think those two teams are neck and neck, and then I would slot in other teams. I'm not as high on the Niners just yet. I have real concerns about the Rams, and as I mentioned, I think the Seahawks are a little disrespected, and Philly's lurking. We need to see what Philly can be once they get their full complement of players back, but Saints and Packers are, to me, the clear top two teams.
Yeah, Jenna, I believe that the 49ers should be part of the conversation because I believe their style is so contrasting to any other style. How can a team in a short period of time get ready for that style? Their quarterback, can they throw the ball down the field? That's probably the biggest question mark. But I believe that the Saints, they should have a significant edge over the Packers for a number of reasons. Head coach, playoff experience, and the disappointment the last 2 years in the playoffs. 2 years ago, Minneapolis Miracle, Stephon Diggs happens to him. They got that game won, then they're going to go to Philadelphia. They could potentially be going back to the Super Bowl. We know last year, as far as the call, they're in the Superdome, went against them against the Rams. They could have been in another Super Bowl. So they got a lot of young players that have won a lot of big games and been a part of big-time situations. The old NFL used to be, you lose the first round of the playoffs, next time you lose the divisional round, you get to the championship game, then you go to the Super Bowl. I think this Saints organization is built to ready to take. Now, Green Bay's talented, but they haven't been in a good playoff race the last couple years, and Aaron Rodgers has been out of the playoffs the last couple.
One thing that for New Orleans, that this Teddy Bridgewater stretch, why it's been so important, is because this tilts massively if these two teams play in the playoffs based on where that game is played. If it's in Green Bay in January versus in the confines of the Superdome. Now, the Saints aren't drawing dead outdoors because they have shown they can run the ball, they can play good defense, unlike some Saints teams in the past. But if Teddy doesn't keep them on pace with the best teams in the conference, then home field is gone. That's when Drew Brees got hurt, that's what I thought they sacrificed. I didn't think they were knocked out of the playoffs, but I thought they sacrificed any opportunity to have home field go through their building. Teddy's obviously undefeated and has kept them right where they need to be.
So did last night change your opinion at all? Would this be a different conversation if you hadn't seen the 49ers last night?
It wouldn't be a different conversation as to teams at the top, but I'm still worried about, okay, the Saints. Can they block the 49ers? Every team. Can they block the Green Bay? Can they block the 49ers? Green Bay would have a hell of a time going against that 49ers front. So last night is part of the story. The 49ers, they deserve the right for us to be talking about them. They haven't been on the National League map for the last couple years. So there's going to be a number of people slow to the party, like my guy Nick Wright.
I might not ever show up.
He'll be sitting back in the corner.
Back here, first things first, now joined by former Pro Bowler, funny man, Bart Scott.
Ain't nothing funny about how you flex on them today, you know what I'm saying? They can't even appreciate the construction of this outfit you got on right now. You got to wear that to happy hour after this one. Tell her, see?
I love some Bart Scott, man. I love some Bart Scott. He wasn't lying, though. He wasn't lying.
And thank you very much. We are quickly approaching week 6 in the NFL, and that can mean only one thing. It is time to discuss super early candidate for MVP. And while I'm sort of kidding, I'm sort of not. There is a serious battle brewing for the honor. On one hand, you got Patrick Mahomes. On the other, the only quarterback with more touchdown passes than Mahomes, and that's Russell Wilson. So, Bart, I will pose this question to you through 5 weeks. Who is your MVP? Is it Mahomes or is it Wilson?
I love me some homies, but, you know, you think that he's surrounded with so much talent. We know that Russell Wilson is doing less with more, doing more with less. Mm-hmm. You know, he has Metcalf. He doesn't have really a line. That's what I think that Russell Wilson is the true definition of an elevator. He's a guy that takes guys, whether it was Baldwin before, whether it was Golden Tate. He's a guy that's always elevated guys that couldn't really shine or star on other teams and make them better. He's a guy that, you know, you think about, you know, the deficiencies, and it's his fault right now, right, because he's taking a big chunk of the pie. You know, Mahomes is the beneficiary of being on a cheap contract. They're going out getting hired guns for him. He has some of the fastest athletes, you know, tight end, offensive line, you know, able to make the trade for McCoy, you know, be able to go out and get Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. So he's been able to be on that rookie deal, so he's benefiting from that. But if I had to pick anybody, go with McCaffrey.
Oh, that was – see, you mentioned McCaffrey yesterday as far as an off-the-board.
Yeah, he's been special, guys.
He's been the MVP, the most valuable player to his team. Without Cam Newton, they have a winning record with a backup quarterback, a rookie quarterback, a defense that's still trying to figure out this new system. He's been doing everything. 200 yards. Only thing that can stop him is cramps.
Well, I think this might surprise some people, but through 5 weeks, the MVP has been, to me, Russell Wilson. And you mentioned all the things Mahomes has going for him. Here's another thing Mahomes has going for him that Russell Wilson does not. The difference between having Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy design your offense and call your plays versus the Brian Schottenheimer system in Seattle is night and day. It would be a pleasure to see what Russell Wilson could do unleashed in an Andy Reid offense. But through 5 weeks, listen, Russell has a higher quarterback rating. He does have the one more touchdown. He is completing a higher percentage of his passes. And he's doing it, to your point, with less talent. The guy that's in the line of getting the absolute most out of his abilities playing with Russell Wilson, as far as Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, now it's Tyler Lockett, who for the last season and a quarter now, Russell has a perfect quarterback rating when targeting him because he is putting Tyler Lockett in the best positions imaginable, and Tyler Lockett is turning himself into one hell of a player. The only asterisk I will put on it is this. While through 5 weeks, Russell Wilson, to me, is the MVP, the best bet would be, for my money, Patrick Mahomes. Because I think by the end of the year, Mahomes' numbers will rebound from the worst game of his career statistically this past weekend. They will get Tyreek Hill back. Some of those weapons you've talked about, he's been without this year. And so I think Mahomes, by the end of the year, is more likely to be the answer. But right now, Russell Wilson's been the most valuable player in football.
Disregard the other two. McCaffrey's having an outstanding season there in Carolina. Yeah. Outstanding. Last year, he wanted to get 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving. And had set that as a real goal. Nick, after 5 games, stat-wise, where is Patty Mahomes compared to 2018?
So 2018, after 5 games, he has no interceptions this year. Last year, he had some picks. He has more yards this season. Last year, he had more touchdowns. So he is it's neck and neck, depending on how you want to look at it.
But given how outrageous last season was, and there's no one on TV that I've heard, and I watch everything, that said Patty Mahomes would duplicate what he did last year.
No.
Well, he's doing it.
Yeah.
And now we're getting ready to try to discredit that because, and this was all, we used to always have this discussion about the greatest wide receiver. Well, Jerry Rice, well, he was with Bill Walsh and he had Joe Montana. And then when Joe left, he had Steve Young. That ain't his fault.
Right.
They wasn't running those hills with him. They weren't making all them spectacular catches. They weren't doing all that. So we're going to discredit, just like Brady, all his Super Bowls. Is it Belichick? Is it the Patriot way? What difference do it make? Everyone, when they draft into an opportunity or free agent, do they take advantage of it? And Patty Mahomes is playing better than he played last year, which was a remarkable season.
That's true.
Russell is having a great season. McCaffrey is having a great season. But the best in the game is playing better than he did last year. And the only way you can give the MVP to someone else is if you say, oh, he's got a tight end, Kelsey. Oh, he's got Andy Reid calling plays. Yes, he does have that franchise, that intellectual talent that we talk about that's not a wide receiver and everything in Kansas City. But he's also taken advantage of it. He had every opportunity this offseason to get soft. He was traveling around. He was being honored everywhere. He had every reason not to come back focused. But he's come back even better, and I just like to be able to recognize that.
But we have, you know, you could be a victim of your own success, right? Because we've seen him last year throw for 50 touchdowns. Will he duplicate that? Maybe not. And we know that, you know, we have these sentimental favorites. Last year was Drew Brees, and he fell off in late in the year. Mm-hmm. But we have, like, these lifetime achievement awards, right? And we've seen Russell Wilson play at a high level for a long time, yet to get the award. If he continues to put this team in a tough division towards the top in contention,
yes,
you know that it'd be a sentimental favorite to give it to him because we know that he's doing less with more. It's just like in basketball, you can give it to LeBron every year. Every year you can give it to Tom Brady. But people get tired of the same person. It's almost hard because he's competing against himself from last year.
Well, and the one last point, because, listen, there's going to be hard to find anyone that's a bigger fan of Patrick Mahomes than me. And Chris is right in this regard. Through five games this year versus last year, this year is a higher quarterback rating, higher yards per attempt, and a better touchdown interception ratio, and more total yards, right? So in that regard, he is already having a better season. His raw touchdown numbers are not off the charts the way they were last season. But at through 5 weeks last year, Patty Mahomes was not the runaway MVP because Drew Brees was neck and neck with him mm-hmm. through the first three quarters of the season. It wasn't until Drew Brees fell off.
Yeah, I mean, he only got two quarters playing with Tyreek Hill, right?
Right, exactly right. That's the other reason why I think you can say right now McCaffrey or Russell Wilson are the league MVP if it was awarded at the third poll of the season. But by the end of the year, I think Patrick Mahomes' numbers are going to far supersede everyone's. I think he's going to have, I hope he actually has a better playoff resume than Peyton ends up having, but I think regular season, he's going to have Peyton Manning style, multiple MVPs, right, consistently leading the league in multiple passing categories.
18 and 1,000 gets it done for McCaffrey.
1,800 and 1,000? Well, that'd be something. That will be, yeah, 2,800.
That's Marshall Faulk right there.
Nicholas, you're ranking the best teams in the NFL, so get to it.
All right, we will do the top eight as we do when we're doing the best teams in the NFL.
No, we don't. Sometimes you do six, sometimes you do seven,
best teams
sometimes
in the NFL,
nine.
It's going to consistently be eight because that is exactly one quarter of the league. So we will start with
rhyme and reason right
number
there.
Eight. This team has the single best win any team has in the league this year, the Indianapolis Colts, led by one Jacoby Brissett, really led by Frank Wright, Quentin Nelson, and their great big people. They won in Kansas City to get to 3-2. I understand the Houston Texans are getting the headlines in that division. I trust this team's infrastructure, their offensive line, and their coaching far more than I do Houston. I've got the
Jenna, he's off to this kind of start.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
Well, hold on. He's got seven more.
Number seven, top three defense, a team that has taken advantage of a bad schedule, but also the only team to throw a scare into the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills. Some people's preseason wildcard pick out of the AFC, I don't know who those some people are. They are overcoming what is terrible quarterback play to consistently be a good team. I think Sean McDermott's an underrated coach. Nobody wants to play the Buffalo Bills right now.
Self-promotion's not a good trait to have, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You got any commentary on the Bills?
Well, I know you picked the Bills. You got to keep them alive.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't know who it was. All right, number six. One of only two undefeated teams in football. You might say, why aren't they higher? I need to see them beat a few more teams. I got some questions about the receivers and maybe even their quarterback still. The San Francisco 49ers, though, what they have done on the ground. See, they're averaging 200 yards rushing per game. We saw Nicky Bosa have his first real flash game of his very young career. Niners, number six. They can move higher if they win this week, their first real test of the year.
They should definitely be in the top four. Jenna, top five in scoring offense, top five scoring defense. 49ers are back. They will be on this list and, all year, Nick.
And they're very, very eager to shake hands with the opposition. So for no other reason, leave them at number six.
And people are going to be mad. They're going to say, how can an undefeated team be number six? Because it's not the standings. It's a power rankings. If it was the standings, you just print them off. This is according to how they're playing. Number five, the Seattle Seahawks. Very tough NFC West now. The Rams don't even make it. You got two teams, five and six. Seattle, they've got a guy right now who's the league MVP in Russell Wilson. Clowney is already paying dividends. Tyler Lockett, last year, a lot of people thought it was an aberration. This year it has not been. We know what they've already beaten the Rams, which puts them in a good position division-wise. Seattle Seahawks, with that great home field advantage and Russell Wilson, they're the fifth best team in football.
Proceed.
Number four. It's the lowest I've had them all year. It hurts my heart, but I got to be fair. I got to be unbiased. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Kansas City Chiefs, they were number one, but when you lose a game as a double-digit favorite at home, when your quarterback's gimping, when all of a sudden you have injuries on your offensive line, your receiving core, you got to drop a few spots. Now, I think the Chiefs will get right this week at home against Houston, but given the questions on defense, and until we see Mahomes play a full, healthy game, the questions at quarterback, they got to drop out of the top three to number four.
Kansas City should be number two. I don't care who you got, number one, number three. They should be number two.
Okay,
they're the second best team in the league.
Well, I have a feeling the team you're saying that should be number one is going to end up being number three. Number three is the New England Patriots. All-time good defense. We have talked a lot about the concerns on offense, and it's real concerns on offense.
You looking for the list?
No, I'm looking for a cup. The drug test is fine.
Okay, well, I'm very interested.
I don't know who number one
if
is.
You really would think the Patriots on a neutral field would be favored over either of the two remaining football teams, because number two is the New Orleans Saints. Their ability to withstand injury to their quarterback and their ability to show the full complement of talent, their roster, coaching staff, coordinators, and the other 52 guys has been exceptional. They have not had an easy schedule, yet they're 4-1. They've already beaten Houston, Seattle, and Dallas. Two teams that are on this list, and I know some people would have Dallas on this list. I've got the Saints at number two.
They have been the most impressive, but that would get them at number three. New England should be number one, and Kansas City should be number two.
Well, that means the team I have number one, you would have outside of the top three, and that is the Green Bay Packers. Number one turnover differential in football. Maybe the toughest open of the season schedule of any good team. At Chicago win. Home Minnesota. Dominated in Dallas. They're doing it without Aaron Rodgers playing great, and I would say without Aaron Rodgers fully comfortable in this offense yet, and they just won last week without Devontae Adams. This is a team that is staring at 12-4 as a basement for their season, assuming Rodgers stays healthy. Aaron Jones coming off his best game of his career. Right now, they're the most dangerous team in football.
Yeah, how long is Aaron Rodgers going to be happy being a supporting character?
As long as this movie keeps winning the Oscar, which is, of course, the
one. And I don't believe they're going to run Aaron Jones like that every week.
Well, I don't think
Devontae Adams is going to be hampered for at least a month.
Okay, well, right now, through 5 weeks, I think the best team in the league has been the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones coming off the best game of his career. You were right about Devontae Adams' toe injury. That was a concern. They still managed to hang 34 on the Dallas Cowboys. There is Nick's list through week five.
Right,
your eight best teams in the NFL.
I like it.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.